and welcome to Illumination Bureau, where we hope to enlighten you with all of the hidden stuff that you don't know about careers in creative. This is Catherine Lang Klein
and Kristen Harris, and we will be your hosts. We are the co-creators of Portfolio Creative, a company that connects creative people in the marketing and advertising space. We've been doing this since 2005, and we've learned a lot of things that we want to share with you.
We have so much to tell you, so let's get started.
Hey, Catherine.
Yes.
Over your marketing career,
your extensive
career in the marketing and creative field, what do you feel like the biggest change has been?
That's easy. It's everything going to digital. I remember, you know how I hate to date myself, but I have great pride in this though too. I remember, you know, when in my first job, everything was done manually. You know, different versions were done manually with acetate, and you had to cut things out with Ruby Lith. And there, I mean, there was just such an art to it back then. But, you know, things change with the times, and I definitely adapted to doing things on computer, and it has the same sort of art flair to it, except it's, you know, less with your hands and more, I guess, it's with your fingertips. But, yeah, everything has moved to digital, and, you know, we've seen that just in the jobs that we place, too. And I'd have to say that if you own a company right now, that's something that you want to get on board with, too.
Yes, for sure. So, I mean, in the midst of 2020, of course, lots of things have shifted and it's gone even more digital, I think, in the marketing space. But this has been happening over the last 10 years, probably, at least.
Yeah. But you know? I think this is all the first time I've seen where these changes have to be made just for the survival of a company, for example, or a business in some cases.
Yeah. I was on a luncheon, and I'm not going to name the companies because I don't know if I should, but there were a couple different companies that are more in like a B2C customer space, and they were saying that right now they are not doing any out of home, like no billboards because no one's driving anywhere. They're not doing any radio because no one's driving anywhere. They're not doing any regular TV because people
are
mostly
streaming.
Watch Netflix and other streaming. So all they're doing is social or digital marketing and, wait for it, direct mail, because people are now at home, so they're mailing them stuff.
You know what? That's interesting, because I have gotten a lot more direct mail.
I know, me too. After they said that, I was like, hey, you're right. I am getting more direct mail marketing.
But, it's working.
You know, it's just like, and that's not to say, they were not by any means saying they're never going to go back to those formats, but they're just saying, like, right now, those are the decisions they're making, because that's where their audience is.
I think
that's
super smart.
And,
I mean,
you know,
really,
people will drive places again and whatever. So they'll go back to, you know, billboards and stuff at some point, I'm sure. But it's a profound shift, and certainly some of it will stick.
Absolutely. And I think because this has been such a long period of shift, habits have changed. You know, for me, I was not a big takeout person. But if I wanted to not cook one night, you know, I didn't want pizza, you know, I was going to the websites of restaurants. And honestly, I might make a decision, and some cases have made a decision, based on whether or not somebody had it where I could just order online in a nice little pick from the menu, put in your credit card, now you can just go pick it up, versus somebody where I had to even call in. It's
great.
Like, oh God, I don't want to call in.
I know.
You know,
there was one I had to order. I mean, not had to. It was the place we wanted to order from. And I was all over the website. I'm like, how do you order? And
right.
And I said to my husband, I'm like, I guess I have to call them.
<It's>
He's like, really?
It's so ridiculous how much our habits have changed. But if you're not one of those places, you might have lost a customer, you know? And that isn't just restaurants. That's kind of everybody now. Everybody is in this e-commerce world. I mean, that's why, you know, Amazon has gone crazy. Because they've made it so easy, and you know, habits are formed where it's like, oh my God, this could be delivered to my house. Oh my God, this food could be delivered to my house, or I don't even have to get out the car for this. It's habits that we've learned, and I don't think they're going to go away, because I don't think I'm going to change.
Right. And this stuff
was
all happening.
Very resistant person.
You know, like you said, it was all happening before. It has really compounded. And so, you know, maybe I'll shift slightly back a little, but it's not shifting that far back.
Yeah. People are going to still want curbside service, or, you know, order everything I need, like just off of a menu. And we have to really look at some of those things, and people checking out websites too. You might've had it as a placeholder or just a brand ID sort of thing, but it might have to be a little more robust now that people are looking to that for information versus getting their information somewhere else.
Yes, 100%. So, you know, it obviously depends on what industry you're in or what, you know, your business is, but I don't think you can ignore this area. And so I think it's really helpful to know what some of those positions are, what some of those people do. And I think especially so you know what you're looking for.
Because
that's one thing we see a lot is people, and, you know, we're here to help them, so it's completely fine. But people will come to us and say, I need an XYZ. And then we talk to them about their project and what they're trying to do or whatever. It's like, actually, you don't.
You need an ABC,
you know? And so it's, you hear all these titles and stuff and think that's what you need, but it may not actually be. You might need something higher level or not.
It could be a lot easier of a solution than you might think.
Yes.
And
when it's not your world, you don't know.
Right, right. And so we're hoping that, you know, we can kind of connect some dots here on what you might need and, you know, what is it you're trying to accomplish by just offering up some job descriptions and kind of figure out how you might want to prepare for this going into the new year. One of the things that is worth mentioning is that since people are not going out, they're staying home, they really can't experience your brand, for example. So their first experience with your brand might be your website, like we said before, and, you know, how long somebody's on that website, how they feel when they get there based on, you know, just on color choices or font choices. You know, how easy is the checkout process? Can you find the checkout process? So, you know, do you make it as simple as possible? All these things can be brought to you by a user experience designer.
Yes.
And you might have the, you know, what you think is a great website, but how is it really?
Yeah. And I think that experience word, that's the really important part of this. You're right. It's like, how, you know, can you find what you want?
Right.
And then how easy is it? And, you know, how do you feel? Is it good? Or is it just like, I mean, the other day I was on my bank website and they moved some stuff. I'm like, where did they put this thing? I almost had to send a note to like customer service.
Somebody help me.
Help. I can't find what I need. That's not a good experience.
No, and but it's because your bank, you're going to be a little more persistent. But what if you just want, like, you want to buy some socks, or you're doing your Christmas shopping, or your birthday, buying a gift?
I'll go
somewhere else. And that's sometimes based to me. This is a big thing for me, is that if it takes the website takes too long to load, I will shut it off and say, "Well, who else has something?" Because clearly this is hard.
I think the analog equivalent is like a surly employee.
Yeah,
like if I come in your store and
you're making this hard for me,
rude and not. You know, it's not nice and there's kind of dirty. I'll just go in a different store.
Exactly.
And to me, it's the same thing. Your website's kind of your welcoming or surly employee.
It's that first impression. It's much like when, you know, you meet with a new candidate or you, you know, walk in, like you said, to a restaurant and everybody is disheveled. It's like, oh, if they don't care about this, how do I don't think they're going to care about my experience. So you might need to hire a user experience designer. And it doesn't mean you have to hire them on full time. Have them just come in and gussy up your website and then they can move on, you know?
Yeah. And that's a really great point. Probably with all of these kind of roles we're talking about, these are not necessarily, I mean, it depends on how big your business is and how many websites you have and so on, but they're not necessarily roles that you need all day, every day, 5 days a week. It may be a project to come in and, you know, take a fresh look and redo your website, but then you're probably not going to redo it for a couple of years.
Right.
So you may be better off to hire, you know, a freelancer, an independent person, or, you know, somebody like through a company like ours or whatever, however you find them, to just hire them for the need that you have. Like, these aren't necessarily positions you need to add to your full-time team unless you're, you know, a quite a bit larger company.
Yeah,
that,
and it changes constantly,
a lot of
like
sites.
Maybe all your merchandise changes all the time or things like that. But yeah, you can totally get away with just having somebody just dial this up and much like an interior designer, just come in, make it look nice, and then they can be on their way.
Right. They're going to map out your site. They're going to do some testing. They may, you know, set up some analytics. They're going to figure out who the personas of the people are who come to your site. So they're appealing to them. But that's all kind of one-time work. Or one time every so often work.
Right. And if the functionality is a problem with your website, then you are going to want more of a front-end developer. You know, things aren't running smoothly. You might want to have some sort of animation on there or something. They're the person that can actually dig in there and make sure everything is running smoothly and people won't get frustrated with your website in general.
Yeah, I love this. Like, those two positions work together mm-hmm. a lot. So the UX designer may figure out how it should look and feel, and then the front end developer makes it work.
Right.
Makes that happen.
And you might, you know, be lucky enough to find the unicorn that can do both of those things, but typically it's two different mindsets. So when you think about it, you know, it's somebody who draws a picture versus, you know, somebody who can actually make something function.
Yeah. Like a builder. I think of developers as like, they craft something.
Maybe
like
a better example.
A house builder
or
something.
The architect and the construction worker. You know, you're not going to want your architect to actually build your...
Yeah, you want somebody who understands how to actually build things to build it versus the person who knows how it should look.
Yes, yes. So that's probably the best comparison. And so if you know, are pretty happy with your website or don't want to necessarily change it because you feel it's really on brand, it might need just some things that are just functionally a little... stuttering a bit, or like I said, if it's taking too long to load, or you want a little more usability for your clients to work with you based on that, this is the person that you will want.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so, yeah, this all is very dependent on like what platform your website is on, you know, what is being used to build it, mm-hmm. you know, and because they have all different languages and different tools that they use. And every developer, I think, has their sort of tool belt of the things that they are best at, mm-hmm. but not everyone mm-hmm. is strongest at everything.
Right.
So it depends. You have to think about like, what platform am I using and what am I trying to get built, and then go find the right builder for that.
Yes.
Just like back to your house analogy, you would not have a home builder build a big corporate warehouse building.
Right.
Like, those are two different types
yes.
of skill sets, you know.
Yes.
They're both great at what they do, but they're not necessarily interchangeable.
Right. And getting that right person is really important in that regard too. So you might not need somebody who can tackle this huge thing. You might just need somebody who has, you know, just some general skills that can just kind of like, again, make it just work properly.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have all this in place, you want people to come to your website.
Yes.
So how do you get traffic moving? And that comes with a digital marketer.
Yeah. And this is what we were talking about earlier, like building your strategy, because it's probably changed.
Yes.
And it's probably shifted over time anyway, but it may have dramatically changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned several examples of types of businesses that earlier this year, whether they had a digital marketer, it was the owner or whatever, they had to change their marketing strategy like in a day.
Right. And let's say, for example, you know, people aren't, you know, seeing billboards anymore, or they're not, you know, watching general TV. How do you get your advertising out to these people? And it might be pop-ups in social media, like an Instagram or Facebook, or, you know, do you have, a good string of messages on Twitter or something like that, that all drives people back to the website where you can talk to them a little more about what your services are.
Yeah. So a good digital marketer, I think, really thinks from a strategic point
mm-hmm.
of view first, like, who are we trying to reach and where are they? And then gets down into like, how do we reach and attract them? But
yes,
they have to have that bigger picture of like, who are the people we want?
Right.
And where do they live? Because there are so many places, like, you could put, you know, just in the social media world, there's so many places you could put pop-ups and posts and ads and just create content, your own
right.
content, all kinds of different things. But not every person, you know, certainly the people on Facebook are not the same demographic as TikTok or Instagram or LinkedIn,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so identifying who you're even trying to reach, and then the best, maybe, you know, few platforms to reach them.
Sure. And I'm sure
it's very strategic.
Yes. And I know people have seen, you know, ads and things that have gone viral because somehow they've touched a heart or they've made somebody laugh or things like that. That's the person that figures that out, you know. So it's not you, it's somebody who actually has that experience to get people talking about your brand.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is everything from like strategy, analyzing data, like
mm-hmm.
how well are the things doing that they are putting out there, really knowing the different platforms and knowing you know, SEO kind of best practices, mm-hmm, how to get mm-hmm. your site, or I guess your site generally, to come up in, you know, search results. It's all that very strategic thinking. They may also execute and make the posts and make the content, or they may not. They right. may just be thinking about like the strategy and the analytics and knowing the details of how to get it mm-hmm. done, as opposed to like making the creative.
Right. Also, this type of person could possibly find you some influencers too. Like if you produce a product, you know, who's out there that's getting a lot of hits, you know, send them one of your items and they can talk about it too. So there's a lot of different levels to this that this sort of person can help you out in a very strategic sort of level.
Yeah, that's a great point. There are, you know, I think we think of like the basic, you know, social media, but you're right. Like they could help you create a series, or like writing, you know, e-courses or downloadable stuff. You know, we go to a lot of websites mm-hmm. and there's like, if you, you know, share your email and you download a white paper or something like that, a lot of times they're thinking about the strategy of that.
Right, right.
How do I capture this person's email so we can later do email marketing to them? What can I offer them that they would want, mm-hmm. that they're willing to give me their email? Like that's all very strategic
yep.
thinking. So
yep.
that's more the mindset of this person.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, if you feel that your company needs that sort of thing, it's definitely worth the investment of having that person. And that person might be a more of a full-time person, because that you're always going to want that sort of marketing to happen within your mm-hmm. company. But definitely somebody can also come in and just set you up with a strategy, or perhaps teach someone on your team
yeah.
to how to keep that up.
Yeah, and I see people do this role like on a part-time basis mm-hmm. or a fractional
or consulting,
basis. Maybe
yeah.
they work, you know, 8 to 10 hours with 3 or 4 different companies mm-hmm. over a week. And like you said, then maybe they're also partnering with some internal people that are
right.
executing a lot
right.
of it, but they're more the like big picture expert.
Yes. They can perhaps give your team marching orders for a quarter yeah. and the next quarter they'll have something else that they can come up with to help. So yeah, all of these are super flexible. So just kind of figure out where you think you might need to have a little more influence in the community, I guess. Yeah. One thing, too, that people are looking into is a visual designer. This also goes into the digital space, too, because this can help you carry through the look of your brand on to social media. And sometimes that varies based on what platform you're using, too. Mm-hmm. And to have that consistency is also super important, too.
Yeah. And I think so this gets into the like the all the stuff we just talked about
mm-hmm.
now getting executed. It's kind of like how the other two often partner together. I think the digital marketer and the visual designer often partner together.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you may find the unicorn who's good at both.
Yep.
Or you may have a digital marketer who's very strategic and then a visual designer who is actually creating all that content and making it look really great.
Right. And, you know, making sure that your brand is being represented. Is this on brand? Because you don't want a real choppy message from, let's say, what your website has versus what maybe a phone app has, versus what is being said in Twitter. You want the voice to all be the same. You want the colors to all be the same. And that can sometimes vary too. You know, your blue could look purple on a different platform or things like that. This is the person that can help say, you know, this font will work on everything, or we'll use this font here and this font here because it's easier to read. So there is a little bit of strategy behind this too. It's a little bit about the look. It's a, you know, kind of a little bit of everything, but just so your brand looks visually great everywhere.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, in olden times, a visual designer would have been like a print graphic designer
yes.
and mostly doing a lot of print work. But now they generally design across all sorts of platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So they may do print work. Like if you have print, maybe you have signage or brochures or something because you have an actual physical location
mm-hmm,
of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
They may do that. But they're also doing like your graphics that are going on social media, and they may be filming the little snippet videos on your
right.
social media.
Right.
They may be helping direct YouTube videos, like, you know, all kinds of places where their work comes into play. So again, a lot like the developers, people have a wide variety of skill sets. So you need to find the one that has the skill sets you need.
Right.
You know, they may be good at photography and video, or they may not. They
right.
may be good at typography or not. You know, everybody has kind of their handful of their strongest areas.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need to make sure those align with whatever strategically you're trying to execute. Like, if you don't do video, you don't need somebody who's great at video, right? But if you're trying to do a lot of photography, it would be helpful if maybe your visual designer actually is a good photographer too, or can partner with someone who is.
Yeah, they can probably touch a lot more spaces than some of the other ones that we have talked about. But yeah, if you want a brand refresh, if you like your brand, but you just wanted to just look, you know, make it crossover on all the platforms, this would be the person that you would want to talk to. This person can also work well with the other jobs that we have mentioned, like I said, in order to keep the brand consistent and things like that. And again, this doesn't have to be a full-time job. This can be something that can be kind of plugged in and set up, and then that person can move on. So it could be a project as well.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
And number five, the last one, is basically your run-of-the-mill web designer.
Just your everyday web designer, job that didn't exist 10 years ago.
Exactly. And this could be, you know, if you, well, let me just back up a little. I remember when we started the business, people were questioning whether or not they could should have a website.
Yeah.
And that was almost like saying, do you need business cards, you know, at that time. Now I think that's almost kind of reversed. You know, the website's more important than the business cards, because if anything, you just direct people to your website to get more information.
I meet so many people who don't have cards anymore.
I know. It, you know.
I still like a nice print card.
I do too. And I like the paper and the color and, you know,
there's
all sorts
our layer
of stuff.
Press.
Like,
we're all nerdy.
Oh, look, you got a square one, you know, just all sorts of little things.
But we live in a specific world.
Yes,
right?
Yes. So, yeah, this is a person that can kind of help you with the layout and the navigation and things like that. If you want something that's, you know, somewhat basic and you don't want to get super involved with some of the other things, which I think are still super important. So I don't want to discount that. But this, a web designer can definitely get you up and running and get ways for people to contact you. So if you've just set up a website, you know, and you're kind of hanging on to it with just some of the basic information, you might want to get that website designer back or find somebody new to help you get it to the next level.
Yeah. And I think this is a case of another one of those, like, making sure you know exactly what you need, because often a visual designer may also do websites. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, a web designer is often a visual designer that got really specific, you know, like they just, they loved and they got really good at the web specific world. And so knowing, like, is that what you need? Awesome. But not like, not bringing in a web designer and then expecting them to do a lot of other to make you videos and things too. That may not be their specialty.
What you might want to do, and we've kind of talked about this a little, is that the web designer can also help make your website usable on all different types of devices.
Yes.
So
important.
People
right
are
now
going to the web on, you know, not just sitting on a big old desktop anymore. They're doing it from a phone, from tablets, from laptops. And your website has to work on all of those.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than you pull up something on your phone, you're doing a whole lot of scrolling around because it's trying to fit a horizontal layout into a vertical. All this, or was that right? No,
yes. No, you got
is
it.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Or portrait. I'm thinking portrait for some reason.
Yeah.
That landscape happened, to portrait. Yeah. That's what where I was going.
That happened to me the other day. I'm like, and I kept having to like turn the phone horizontal so I could fill in the field because
right
it disappeared when my phone turned the other way.
Yeah.
It was so frustrating.
Exactly. And people get frustrated. They're like, well, I'm just forget it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the last thing you want is for somebody to just forget it. Mm-hmm. So your web designer could definitely help you get this to work on all different sorts of devices, which we didn't have to think about before either. I mean, that's been kind of a new thing, and people are becoming more and more and more reliant on their phones just to do all their work.
Yeah, and I think the web designer has become so important. To me, the reason it has become so important is all these other things we're talking about, they're all directing someone back to your website.
Yes.
They see you on social, they're trying to get you to come to their website.
Yep.
They put up an ad, try and get you to come to their website, you know, send you an email, come to our website. Like, everything is trying to basically push you back to the website. So if that website is like the home base of everything, then that's why I think it gets its own specific position and so much attention.
Mm-hmm. And you first know impressions are everything.
Yeah.
You know, going back to that.
Yeah. So it's like we said, it is a designer, but it's like it's a designer with a very specific set of knowledge and skills, and somebody who has all of those is going to be much better in executing your website than someone who maybe does a whole lot of other things and dabbles in a few sites, you know.
So if anything, we hope that this was helpful. Just kind of breaking this down for people, because again, as Kristen said, you know, people call us and think they need one thing, but it's really something else. So we thought it was important to kind of address what each of these particular jobs do. So if you're looking on your own, or if you'd like us to help you out, you know, you at least have a better idea of what it is that you need to do and who that person is to help fulfill that particular role.
Yeah. And I just always think of it a little bit like, people have different medical specialties.
Yes.
Like, you don't need them all the time every day. You know, maybe you go to your general practitioner once a year or wherever, you always see them. But these other people, you just pull them in when you need them for some certain, you know, situation you have going on. Some of these roles are like that. Maybe not all. Some of these you might need all the time, like a visual designer, maybe the marketing strategist. But other ones, maybe you just need every so often because you have that particular need. So I think... especially a smaller business could hear all of this and be like, oh my gosh, I need like five new people.
So it's overwhelming. Like,
not really. You just need to figure out what your priorities are and then make sure you get the right expert for the job. That's sort of my point about the medical specialty. Like, you're not going to one type of, you know, medical expert for a different condition.
Right.
You know, they
right.
all have their condition that
they specialize
in. You
don't push the eye doctor for a foot problem.
Yeah. They all specialize in their area. And so you want to go to that expert.
Yeah. Could they help you? Maybe. But it's better to get the expert. Thank you so much for joining us at Illumination Bureau. And we hope you have gained something by listening today. Illumination Bureau was brought to you by Portfolio Creative. You can find out more about Portfolio Creative at portfoliocreative.com. If you have a topic that you want to hear about, don't hesitate to email us at questions@portfoliocreative.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate and review it, or share it with a friend.